views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from cloudy Seattle here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening somewhere on the East Coast on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States on Cable Radio Network, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be really glad you joined me because I'm so excited. But first, before I get into the subject at hand and our wonderful guest, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hello, Benny.
Hi, Christine. I missed you.
I missed you too.
Aww, how could you not say no?
But we had fun going on our, you know, the various vacations. I went to the San Juans. Where did you go?
I was very local, unfortunately. I wish I could have been a little more northward. Just stay down here in Lakewood area, just south of Tacoma. A friend of mine has a house near American Lake, which is kind of very appropriate for July 4th.
You know, it's
all about America, you know?
Yes, yes.
And just did some firework action down there, saw everyone running around the lake, and then the boys passed out, and we ran. Meaning they did not drink. Thank you. They're 4.5. They pass out. They were tired.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Right.
Let me
just be clear. Yes. they did not have any alcoholic beverages. And then we just cruised north and just kind of took it easy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I went out to the San Juans and it was kind of interesting because, first of all, they've got these, you know, little podunk small town parades and
those,
you know,
are
fireworks.
Fun
they're
though because I miss those.
Yeah,
right,
and anybody can join the parade as long as they've like got a dog or a car or
right.
whatever. It's hilarious.
Right, exactly.
And saw the 4th of July fireworks in an area where they fireworks are not allowed, like personal fireworks are not allowed, so
consumer
it's a little
base,
safer.
Right.
But it was very strange because the next day there was haze and smoke from a bunch of Canadian fires and ended up coming home early because it was so bad.
Well, the last couple of days around here, we've had, you know, experiences from that still.
Yes, yes.
And it's a little frustrating, but we just want to make sure everyone's still safe and be careful out there. It's tough times out here, and we're keeping Mother Nature hydrated, which is tough because we aren't doing a very good job with that.
No, no, and it's been so dry.
Right.
It's been so dry.
Be careful, but I'm glad we both had fun for like last weekend. But we did. We missed each other. I missed you.
I'm really excited about our guest today because oftentimes I will either know of guests because of books I've read a long time ago or seminars I've been to. The associate producer, Peggy Snow, does a lot of research, and she finds some wonderful guests for the show as well. I came upon this guest in a sort of unusual sort of way because I was in a brick-and-mortar bookstore. Remember those?
Is it right next to the little small-town parade that you had?
No.
This
is actually in the Seattle area.
Aha!
And
Seattle
Barnes & Noble.
Well, Seattle used to be small, too. So.
That's true, it did.
Way back.
Anyway, I was in a Barnes & Noble. Uh-huh. My kids had gone in there. They were looking for some sort of gift, I forget, and that's one of their favorite places to shop for gifts for people. And so I started browsing in the home section, and I came across the feng shui section. And I've read some things about feng shui, a variety of people kind of interested in it. And I came across this book, and I looked at the cover, and it's this beautiful bedroom scene with the flowers. And it's like I was really drawn to it. And then it said, feng shui that makes sense, easy ways to create a home that feels as good as it looks. And it's a national bestseller by Kathleen McCandless. Anyway, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to buy this, you know, and I could not put it down. I spent like 2.5 days reading this book, stayed up way too late, and I was fascinated by it. And I've already started implementing some of the things within my home. And I'm so excited because when I started to do a little research about Kathleen McCandless, I found that, you know, she's a big deal. I mean, she's had her practical approach to feng shui featured in like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the San Diego Union Tribune, the Denver Post, Houston Chronicle, LA Times. She was named the best feng shui expert in San Diego by San Diego Magazine. She's also been on a variety of radio and television shows, including primetime newscasts. And she's also had a starring role in the nationwide television series Feng Shui Living. So I'm really grateful to have her here today, Kathleen McCandless. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Well, thank you so much, Christine. It's such a joy to be with you, and I appreciate the story about how you found my book.
Yeah, well, you know,
kind of meant to be.
It was, and you know, I've got a home that I purchased about a little over a year ago. And purchased it a little before that and done a renovation. And so in some ways, I'm starting from scratch. And so I'm really concerned about how my home not only looks but feels. So why is it that people should be interested in feng shui?
Well, the thing about feng shui that most people don't understand is they don't have to believe in feng shui for it to be real. In other words, feng shui is around us all the time, and it doesn't matter what you call it. Wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, you're going to be experiencing the feng shui of that space. So There's a big difference between sitting at home in your nice easy chair, you know, relaxing, or sitting on a hard plastic seat in an airline terminal, for example.
Right.
You're still experiencing the feng shui of the space, but clearly one of them feels better than the other.
Uh-huh.
And so where feng shui really departs from interior design, it's not just, you know, interior design addresses a certain look.
Uh-huh.
What happens is we go beyond interior design and look at it and say, geez, you know, it might look good, but it doesn't feel good. So I go in as the consultant and look at specific things, sometimes very subtle things, that we can tweak or correct, and immediately the space feels better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, is living in a space that's comforting, that's nurturing, that actually makes you feel happy and relaxed at the same time. So those
right.
key little things don't seem like much, but when we put them together, we can create a space where you and your family and friends can relax and really enjoy life a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what we care about is how we feel and how functional our space is. So what is feng shui based on?
Feng shui basically is the oldest form of environmental psychology in the world. It was based on about 5,000 years ago. It's basically a guideline, a set of guidelines for people who lived in a time 5,000 years ago in southern China, and in an environment that was very dynamic. So, pardon me, we're talking about hurricanes and typhoons and earthquakes and snow in the winter and heat in the summer. So basically, these tenets were set forth to help people thrive in their environment, to thrive in a very dynamic and sometimes very harsh environment.
Right.
And some of those things pertain to today, and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And where feng shui has often fallen, the wheels have fallen off the wagon, is people have tried to force some of these old practical things that made a lot of sense a long time ago into the way we live today. Some of it just doesn't fit. Some of it fits beautifully.
And that's one of the things I love about your work, because you're brave enough to sort of buck the system and say,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute, this has got its origins in such and such, and it no
right.
longer holds. For instance, you know, one of the things I was a little concerned about in terms of feng shui, based on what I had read at that point when I purchased the house that I live in now, is the stove is right across the from the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in traditional feng shui, that's a no-no. What's your take on that?
Well, my stove and sink do the same thing. You know, this is one of those silly things. That's nonsense. What the premise behind that is, they say, well, in the five element cycle of feng shui, which is complicated, I won't go into it, water puts out fire. But let's talk about where that really came from 5,000 years ago. Christine, how did people cook their food?
Over fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the wisdom of the feng shui masters at that time said, don't have your water, which was by the way, in a bucket. They didn't have plumbing.
Right.
Don't keep that bucket right next to the fire, because fire was really hard to start. They didn't have matches.
Yeah.
They didn't have big, you know, lighters.
Right.
And so they just made a rule. Hey, guys, don't put your fire source, I mean, your water source right next to the fire. Someone could kick it over and put your fire out. Makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
It doesn't apply to today.
Right.
Yep. So that's one of the millions of misunderstandings of the ancient tenets that were put forth that meant sense at the time and just don't work today.
Yeah. And when reading, you know, the various aspects of feng shui and your perspective on them, there are a lot of them that were developed once upon a time that make really good sense now, but for reasons that aren't, shall I say, fear-based about, like, negative energy or something like that. Do you feel that feng shui has been turned into something that's kind of fear-based in some ways?
Oh, yes. The minute you hear anything associated with fear, with feng shui, like, if you do this, this bad thing will happen, or if you don't do this, this bad thing, that was never meant to be part of this system, ever.
Okay.
Another thing is, it's not a system of magic or good luck or, you know, superstition. It's not going to suddenly make you a millionaire. So a lot of that misinformation has gotten into the mainstream, and that's what gives feng shui kind of the black eye. That's why people kind of lift their eyebrow and say, well, I'm not so sure about this. I felt compelled to debunk that and really give feng shui back its dignity and bring the majesty back to what this beautiful system is about.
Wonderful.
And once you know the truth, you really can't go back to that silliness and believe it.
Right. Well, we have to go to a quick break, but when we return, more with Kathleen McCandless about how to apply feng shui and what makes sense and what doesn't so that your home can feel better. When we return here in a few moments. I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
And that was all the games you really knew. Yeah, why couldn't I beat you in the middle of the room?
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Kathleen McCandless, author of Feng Shui That Makes Sense. Now, Kathleen, you know, you were talking about giving feng shui back its dignity. And I really like that perspective that, you know, getting rid of the fear associated with it that you say was not in it originally. But let's take a look at some of the individual aspects of feng shui and take a look at their origins and explain why they're relevant to us today.
I'm going to talk about a couple myths, and then I'm going to talk about something very practical that your listeners can think about in their own home right away.
Okay.
One of the myths in feng shui that really I find hysterically funny is you never want to sit or sleep under a load-bearing beam because the energy of the beam is pressing on top of you and all these terrible things might happen. You'll get a divorce, you'll have arthritis, et cetera.
Right.
I mean, everybody's got beams. They're holding your house up.
Yeah, one hopes.
So I actually had a client in a multi-million-dollar home that when I met with them bragged to me about how she forced her husband to cover all the beams in this beautiful home, uh-huh, in the ceilings, just dropped the ceiling. And the husband, as you can imagine, wasn't thrilled that I was there.
Yes.
Like, what's she going to make me do now?
Right.
And I said, oh my gosh, don't tell me you did that. And she says, yes. And so I said, well, none of that's true. And she said, but I read it in a book. I said, well, you know, these people that are writing these things and saying these things, they're not trying to hurt you.
Uh-huh.
They just don't have the right information. So, Christine, I have a question for you.
What's that?
5,000 years ago, who built your house?
You built it yourself.
Yeah, and maybe your drunk uncle, right?
Right.
So they all got together, and they slapped a few, you know, beams together, and they put some mud, and there was your house.
Right.
Reminding you that you live in the most earthquake-prone area in the world.
Uh-huh.
And how often do we hear, oh, you know, millions of people killed in a Chinese earthquake? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So the feng shui masters in their wisdom said, gee, let's put in there, in the guidelines, never sit or sleep for any period of time under a load-bearing beam.
Yes.
Because you could be killed.
That's right.
They never meant that you could take decorative things out of your house.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of those really glaring misunderstandings.
Right.
Now, on something that listeners can apply to any situation is to remember that feng shui is based on our survival instincts.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things...
Oh, interesting. Our survival instincts.
Yes, your survival instincts. When your survival instincts are met, your survival instinct is part of the old brain. It's part of the limbic system.
Sure.
So, and part of your automatic nervous system. You're not cognitively, you know, examining everything in your environment. You just react to your environment.
Sure.
So one thing human beings do, and I was a scientist before I was a feng shui consultant. I love studies that back up what I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that happens is when we see plants, living plants, there's a part of our body and our brain and the old brain that says, oh, plant good.
Uh-huh, right.
Because our survival instincts know that we need plants for food, for
yes,
oxygen, you know, for shelter, et cetera. Uh-huh. And so we're hardwired to respond to plants. The more man-made material you have in your environment, the less comfortable your environment's going to feel.
Uh-huh.
Because we've lived in nature for millions of years. We've only lived indoors for a minuscule amount of time on the timeline.
Right.
So by bringing nature in, particularly plants, into an environment, you've brought in something that's going to serve that automatic nervous system that says, I really need plants around me to feel comfortable.
That makes sense.
And so it's a huge difference, huge.
Uh-huh.
And Rutgers University actually did a study for 10 months to decide whether or not flowers made people happy.
Uh-huh.
10 months. And guess what?
They do.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
So the behavioral psychologists believe that the reason plants or flowers make people happy is because because in, you know, ancient times, there were three colors in nature, basically, you know, brown, green, and blue.
Uh-huh.
And to come across a hillside with a blanket of fuchsia or a blanket of gold was so extraordinary to them.
Yeah.
That part of the brain actually developed to bring dopamine and serotonin and those kinds of hormones to the brain,
right,
to the pleasure centers of the brain when we see flowers. And to this day, we give people flowers when we need to cheer them up, when we
sure.
want to celebrate.
Sure.
And so one of the basic tenets in feng shui is to make sure that you have natural materials in your space, particularly if you're in an office that's surrounded by a lot of man-made material.
Uh-huh.
And also, so plants, flowers, those types of things are going to immediately soothe your environment, and they're easy to do.
Right. Well, I know that with a lot of products that are now used in building, they actually look natural, but they're not.
Uh-huh.
For
uh-huh.
instance, you know, the melamine that's got the sort of the look of wood, or the
uh-huh.
the Trex type of deck.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
you know, I've had people say in the Northwest, well, you really should replace your deck when you replace it with something like Trex. And I'm thinking, no, I want it to be natural, even though I know it requires a lot more maintenance. So I guess
uh-huh.
that there are aspects of, you know, our survival instincts that sort of make that to be, you know, like, justifiable.
Definitely there are. I will say, though, that part of the brain that recognizes the natural material or wood or
uh-huh.
plants, it's actually quite primitive. It's not very sophisticated.
Uh-huh.
And so if you had, for example, a really realistic-looking laminate on your floor
uh-huh.
that looked really like wood, that's enough to soothe that part of the brain that needs to have those natural materials.
Interesting.
So it's not going to cognitively analyze, oh, is it, you know, is it fake? Now, if it's a really cheesy-looking fake, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or if it smells really funny, because I think that...
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Our nose is very connected to, you know, olfactory system is very connected
That's
to that
right.
part of our brain as well.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the other myths?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite one? Well, I have two favorites. One is, there is a myth that says, if your stairs directly face your front door,
oh.
all your money is going to run down the stairs and out the door.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So,
and I've apparently... Like I've got a former neighbor who has stairs like that, and apparently when that house went up for sale before they bought it, there were a lot of people who passed on it for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's nonsense. I mean, it's not like on top of Old Smoky. I mean, your money is not a meatball that runs out the door, okay? It just doesn't work that way. There are many, many, many extremely wealthy people that have houses like this, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So where did that myth come from? That's what, you know, as a research scientist, I always want to go down to, where did this idea come from?
Sure.
It's so prevalent. And where it came from was, again, about 5,000 years ago, when feng shui was established in southern China. People built their homes, because they were agricultural people, farmers.
Uh-huh.
They built their homes near water sources, like rivers, because that's where they grew their crops.
Sure.
But because of flooding, they would build their homes on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to get in and out of the home was to send down a ladder. And so they didn't have locks on their doors or elaborate alarm systems, of course.
Uh-huh.
So there was a edict that said, hey, you know, when your family is vulnerable and sleeping, you make sure you pull that ladder up.
Uh-huh.
You don't want that access to your interior of your home to be made easy for people to come in and harm you.
That makes
Later,
sense.
Later, when homes were built with fixed stairways,
uh-huh.
they said, hey, don't stick your stairs where everybody can see them.
Uh-huh.
Hide them in
oh.
near the back. They were very creative about where they would put this access that went to the house, and it was never near the main entry
mm-hmm.
because you simply wanted to discourage people from breaking into your home and harming your family.
Uh-huh.
And so that was the point of that. But over time, like the game of telephone, by the time the message gets back to the original speaker, you know, it's word of mouth. The original meaning is lost.
Uh-huh.
So this was carried on from grandmother to granddaughter, et cetera, through generations. And finally, it's like somebody said, hey, why do we do this thing? Don't put your stairs facing your door.
Uh-huh.
And they say, I don't know. I guess it's because of money.
Right.
It became superstition. It was associated with money when it really money never had anything to do with it. It was actually for survival.
Interesting. So is there anything that can make people feel vulnerable if the stairs go directly up from the front door?
Well, yes. You know, sometimes, you know, from my own experience, when I was a little girl, we once lived in a home like that.
Uh-huh.
And my dad traveled a lot. And so I remember my mom was really terrified in that house all the time. And really, when you think about it, you've taken the most public part of the house, the most easily accessed part of the house.
Sure.
And introduced it to the most private part of the house. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So that if someone were to intrude, they know right where to go to get you.
Yes.
And yes, indeed, some people do feel more vulnerable when their stairs are right there at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, others don't. Everybody's different.
Right.
But if I had a client that said, gosh, I don't know what it is, I just don't sleep well, you know, I'm always nervous, I'm always fearful, then we would look at, well, hey, I think it has to do with your stairs, and
right.
we need to look at some alternative to that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what do you do if you have stairs like that and you do feel vulnerable?
Well, honestly, what I would do is make sure you have a solid front door and
uh-huh.
not a glass one.
Uh-huh.
Because glass doors in general make us feel a little more vulnerable. People can see the light or see the movement behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
They could break the door. So what I would suggest is making that front entry feel as secure as possible.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. That's really the way to do it. There's no little magic fix for that.
Sure.
You need to physically make it so they have a good lock system and that, you know, people can't see into the house. People can't break the window and reach in and get your doorknob. That would be the way actually to solve that problem in the best
right.
way possible.
Right. That makes perfect sense. All right. Well, we have to go to another quick break, but when we return, more about feng shui that makes sense with Kathleen McCandless.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com.
Or call 888-509-1077.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Kathleen McCandless, who is just filled with wisdom and common sense about feng shui. Now, Kathleen, let's take a room such as a bedroom. Oh, before I get into that, though, sorry. I wanted to mention this to get listeners ready, because going into the next break, we're going to have a free giveaway. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kathleen, but I'm just I just realized I forgot to mention it. We've got Mark Nebo coming into town in Seattle. It is July, was it 17th? Is that
right? 17th through the 19th.
17th through the 19th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there is an event called the Endless Practice Weekend. Become who you were born to be. And we have a pair of free tickets. So stay tuned about that. Sorry. Now back to the topic at hand, feng shui. So, Kathleen, let's take a room such as a bedroom and talk about some of the tips people can use to sort of make their environment help them to relax and feel more comfortable.
Well, I always preface this by saying if you can sleep with your head next to a railroad track and not wake up, uh-huh. you can break every feng shui rule in the world. It's not going to matter. But, you know, in my book, as you know, I go through room by room by room talking about the tips for each room. And the bedroom has a particularly long segment because if we don't sleep well, it affects our whole next day, our entire next
day.
Right. So one of the things in a practical sense that I talk about is having what I call a big girl bed or a big boy bed. Mm-hmm. And this means that you've got a solid headboard, either upholstered or wood. You know, that's part of a bed frame. And what that does, even though the wall is behind you, there's just something about having that protection behind your head. It just feels significant. You feel a little more empowered. And this goes for children, too. It just feels better to have a solid headboard behind your bed. So that's, for many people, that will make a difference in the sleep.
Okay.
But the most important thing of all in the bedroom, by far, is the position of the bed as it relates to the door.
Okay.
So there's a myth in feng shui that says, you know, you never want your feet to face straight towards the door because it's called coffin position, and that's how they bring the dead bodies out of the house, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's all this malarkey associated with it. But the truth is, if your bedroom door, the entry to your room, mm-hmm. is very close to the foot of your bed or the side of your bed, uh-huh. you don't sleep as well because your survival instinct is active even while you're asleep, just like Santa Claus knows when you're sleeping. Well, so does feng shui. So what happens is if you're too close to the door, you're going to feel more vulnerable and you may not sleep as well.
Right.
So the best position for your bed would be to be able to lay in bed and to see the door, like diagonally, see mm-hmm. the door, but not be in direct line with the door. And what happens is your survival instinct knows that if someone should come into the room or you had an intruder, you have 2 or 3 extra seconds to react
uh-huh.
And to basically save yourself instead of having the bed be really, you know, accessible easily to somebody who would come into the room.
Right.
So that's really why that tenet works. And in my book also, Christine, I give many different scenarios for bed positioning uh-huh. and explain why this one might not work, this one might not work. And this is what you should think about when you're placing your bed in the room. Mm-hmm. But bed placement is key, for sure, to having sleep.
It's funny, Kathleen, because I've heard with other feng shui books that the reason you don't want the foot of the bed, you know, opposite the door is because when you die, you're carried out feet first.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. more fear-based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah. And what you're saying makes so much more sense because you want to be able to relax and get good sleep and not have it either interrupted or have nightmares because you're not completely comfortable.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is to remember that this system, was never created as a set of superstition or nonsense. It was created for very practical reasons. It was created to help a society survive. And so, like I said, over time, the original meanings have been lost, and a lot of silliness has been placed on top, not because people wanted to do something ridiculous, but because people didn't know. Right. They thought, well, I don't know why we're doing it. Nobody really questioned it. They just said, okay, well, you know, grandma told me this. This must be the way it is. Mm-hmm. And what I've tried to do is scrape all that off, those you know, things that you've heard, and really put the original meaning back. Mm-hmm. And when you know the original, the truth, basically, and where it came from, we start to realize that this system is so majestic, so brilliant, really. Such an incredible way to observe human behavior and how we live and are built and natural environment. It's quite beautiful. It will make sense to even the most hardened skeptic, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's take another room. Let's say the living room. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, positioning of furniture?
Well, I wish we were on TV right now because, I think I have something on the homepage of my website, a little video from my TV show. But
yes, you do, and it's actually very insightful and helpful.
So, Christine, if we ran into each other at the grocery store and we were standing face to face, we'd be having a conversation. And next time you or your listeners are standing face to face with somebody, I want you to notice that for sure this happens. You both have your shoulder very so slightly angled away from the other person.
Oh.
We do it instinctively. We do it without even thinking. And this is your survival instinct at work. We all do this.
Yes.
So when you're face to face with somebody, your vulnerable organs are exposed to them.
Right.
So instinctively, your survival instinct tilts your body ever so slightly. We do it without even knowing we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
Away to give yourself an extra second or two to flee should you be threatened.
Right.
I mean, we all do it. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And so when people put furniture, like chairs or couches, directly opposite each other, that's what in feng shui we call confrontation position.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to sit exactly opposite somebody else. Because, again, your vulnerable organs are exposed. So let's say if we had two love seats and they were directly opposite, and we had two people, one will sit on one corner and the other person will sit diagonally on the opposite corner. If we have three people, two people are going to fill those seats on the love seat. Of course, they don't have a choice. They're both going to sit side by side.
Right.
But the third party sits across from them will sit in the middle. And if there are four people, you'll see that people cross their legs, sit sideways, or even will pull a pillow over and put a pillow on our lap. And when we put a pillow on our lap, notice next time you do this, because we just grab one and do it, what you're feeling insecure about. Because there's something in the environment or in the conversation that's making you feel vulnerable. So we'll reach over, grab a pillow, and put it in front of us. We do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so, in a sense, it's like protecting those internal organs.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're sitting in a booth in a restaurant, for example, we're sitting opposite. But the difference is the table height. So the table height in a booth in a restaurant protects those organs.
Uh-huh.
In a living room situation, the coffee table's too low to do that.
Right.
So instinctively, our little antenna goes up and says, gee, there's a person right across from me that can come across me and hurt me.
Uh-huh.
And even if consciously you know that's never going to happen, you cannot override your subconscious and your reflex reaction to your space. So what we do in seating, and again, I give you a lot of examples in the book of how to do this, is we want to sit with furniture slightly angled or in an L shape.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can see everybody else, but nobody is going to be feeling threatened. In turn, they'll feel more relaxed.
That makes sense. Yep. That makes perfect sense, as opposed to thinking that there's some negative energy that's going to get us.
Yes, indeed.
So, okay, so let's take the entryway relative to the back of the house, because I know that there's an issue that comes up with regular traditional feng shui.
Well, what the misunderstanding that you're referring to is that if your front door and your back door face each other, like directly through, the energy runs through the house very quickly. you know, it's not really true. But what happens is this, if we had more time, I would actually walk your viewers through this little scenario I do where you're walking through a forest and they're walking on a path and they have this adventure. And then I ask them, you know, was your path curved or was it straight? Uh-huh. 99% of the time, they're going to say that the path curved,
right,
even though I didn't tell them it curved. And the reason we do that subconsciously without being programmed to think that is that a curving path is what exists in nature. Like nomadic people and migratory animals will create pathways that curve and meander because they have to go through the natural environment, you know,
exactly,
around trees or rocks or uh-huh. rivers. So that pattern is instinctive in us.
Mm-hmm.
Straight lines don't exist in nature. And what happens when we have a straight shot right through a house is we've lost that feeling of adventure. We've lost that feeling of meandering.
Uh-huh.
And what will happen is all the attention will go straight to the back of the house.
Sure.
So people will walk in, go straight to the back of the house. When you put things that will pull the eye, for example, a tree, you could use an artificial tree, even if it's realistic looking,
mm-hmm.
Along the hallway, or have some kind of runner down the hall that has a horizontal pattern instead of a vertical pattern.
Uh-huh.
We start to pull the eye to the side, and we give this feeling of a meandering path. The house
sense.
Will have more visual interest. The house will feel more comfortable because uh-huh. we're kind of expanding that point of view.
Right.
And you might find that you use the what I call the auxiliary rooms that come off that hallway more when you create this visual pull to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. It's such an optical illusion, but it's so powerful.
That's amazing. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going to a quick break, but before we go to break, I want to mention again and give each of you an opportunity to call in. If you live in the Seattle area, you're going to be here the weekend of July 17th through 19th to attend for free with a friend or a loved one, the Endless Practice Weekend. Become who you were born to be. Now, first caller at, what's the number, Benny?
It'll be 800-930-2819. We will take the first caller. So again, the number is 800-930-2819.
More with the Christine Upchurch Show in a few moments.
So lately, been wondering, be there to take my place when I'm gone. You'll need love to light the...
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options,
I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On your face, if a great wave shall fall and fall upon us all, then between...
Welcome back to the Kristen Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Believe it or not, Benny, we haven't had any callers, any takers on...
They're shy, I think.
They're so fascinated by the subject matter that they're running to their living rooms and their bedrooms to sort of check them
exactly
out.
Exactly my point. They're rearranging as we speak. They need to come back to the radio and get this number, 800-930-2819, and we'll get you a pair of tickets for...
The Mark Nepo event, the Endless Practice Weekend. Become who you were born to be. Now, Mark Nepo is huge right now. He's been on Oprah Winfrey. He's actually going to be on this show, I believe it's October, around the time that he's got a new book coming out. So I'm really excited about that interview. So you don't want to miss him. If you're in the Seattle area, Center for Spiritual Living, July 17th through 19th. And we still got that pair of free tickets. Anyway, we've been talking about feng shui from a perspective that I think is so very helpful. And Kathleen, you know, you've got so many great tips and you've got... diagrams that are very easy to understand. I've just so enjoyed your book. So tell us, what are the issues with clutter? Because I know that there's a lot of stuff in feng shui that talks about the negative energy that gets created from clutter. Why should clutter be an issue?
Well, I don't think clutter in itself creates negative energy. What happens is, and we all know this feeling, when you have too much stuff, you start to feel weighed down by it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I recently moved across the ocean. I just recently moved to Hawaii. And I moved out of a house that I lived in for almost 18 years.
Wow.
It was a really large house.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, it was like clowns even a clown car.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, my friends would come over and take stuff. It was like, they would take huge pieces of furniture, all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't put nothing was gone.
Oh my goodness.
And even I know, because I'm, you know, I don't consider myself having tons of clutter. I just couldn't believe how much I'd accumulated in 17, almost 18 years.
Right.
So what clutter does is it's anything you don't want, love, need, or use. And quote one of my students who actually brought it up in a class, she said the perfect thing. She said clutter is postponed decisions.
Ooh,
and so
ooh, I like that. Say that again.
And it's such a clutter is postponed decisions. So it's like you sit that down, especially if you have room in your house for it. I don't feel like thinking about whether or not I want this. I'm just going to put it here.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to pack it away in this closet. Or I'm going to, you know. And so after a while, what happens is we start accumulating all this stuff. And it creates this feeling of stagnation in the house. Things
right.
that sit and sit and sit and sit make that energy or that feeling in that particular area feel very heavy and very stuck.
Uh-huh, right.
So, you know, and you don't need to be metaphysical to understand this. Go into an antique store someday or a thrift store where things have been sitting for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely this feeling of heaviness, of lethargy, and that's
yeah.
what happens in our houses. And people with too much stuff sitting out tend to not, I'm just being honest, I know there's exceptions to this. They tend not to clean as often.
Uh-huh.
They tend not to feel good about themselves. Their self-esteem
right.
is lower because they know they should be attending to something. But there's
mm-hmm.
so much inertia. I mean, who wants to go out and clean out the garage? Nobody.
It's not fun.
And so you and your viewers can answer this is, hey, when was the last time you cleaned out a big closet or a big drawer? Your friend comes over and she says, "Oh, Christine, what did you do today?" "I cleaned out a closet." You grab her hand and you drag her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To show her the closet. But she couldn't care less.
Right.
But there's so much, like, it's such an euphoria that happens when we get rid of stuff.
Uh-huh, right.
And so living with only what you want, with what you love, with what you need, it gives you this feeling of self-love, I will say.
Right.
Because when we hold on to something just in case, we're kind of putting a message out to the universe, hey, I don't trust you to take care of me in the future, so I'm going to hoard, or I'm going to hang on to this broken rake.
And
because I don't think I'm going to be able to buy another one later.
Yes, and I think that that's really important to sort of let go of that fear.
You can always buy another one later, darling. So, and another thing is, you know, people, so often my clients will say, you know, Kathleen, my mother-in-law gave me this, you know, pink plastic floral arrangement, and I feel obligated to display it. And I tell all, you know, you listeners out there, you have my permission to not keep anything that you don't love. And I have to say that I feel that giving someone something to display in their home is actually very presumptuous, unless you really, really know that they love and want that item. It's like giving someone a puppy. It's like, here's this thing, and now you have to take care of it. You know, I have a friend that gives really ugly Christmas ornaments, and she gave me the, and I love Christmas, so she's given me this hideous Christmas ornament. There was no darn way that thing was going on my tree.
Right.
You know, this next year, last year, she came and scoured my entire tree to find that stupid ornament.
Oh, no.
And finally, I said, it broke. It was a tiny white light. Well, yeah, it broke when I threw it in the trash. So again, you have permission to live with what nurtures you.
Yes, that makes sense.
What feels good to you. That's all that matters.
Uh-huh. So we're putting in our homes, we should put ourselves first.
We should put
ourselves first. Yeah.
Your space. It has to feel good to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's challenging is when your husband wants to hang the buffalo head.
Yes.
And I literally had that happen with a client. And finally, we decided we compromised and said his office.
There you go.
That's a little more challenging.
So, you know, Kathleen, I want people to be able to get in touch with you. Can you share with our listeners what your website is?
It's easy. It's fengshuithatmakessense.com.
And can you spell that for people? Because I think a lot of people are confused by it.
Yeah, they don't know how to spell Fong, and I understand.
Yes.
It's spelled F as in Frank, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, G as in giraffe, Fong. And then Shui is spelled S as in Sam, H as in Howard, U as in umbrella, and I as in igloo. So it's Feng Shui That Makes Sense.
Right. And it's
and if they also Google my name, Kathleen McCandless, it'll come up.
Yeah, and McCandless is McCandless. And it's you've got a wonderful website. There's some great video on it. There's a lot of information. And this is a fabulous book. And I just have to say, Denise Lynn, whom I absolutely adore, who's been on the show before, says, Kathleen takes you to the true heart of feng shui by pushing aside superstitions to present the deepest pearls of feng shui wisdom. Highly recommend. So, you know, that's what Denise Lynn says.
Denise is a dear friend.
Oh, yeah, and she's fabulous. So anyway, I highly recommend your book, and I'm so grateful that you joined us here today.
Thank you. And real quick, Christine, my book has been number one on Amazon for 5 years now.
Wow.
Great.
So
in
a particular category?
Yeah, in feng shui.
Feng shui,
If you type in feng shui on Amazon, it's the number one.
That's fabulous, and I understand why now, because, and I'm so glad that I was taken into this brick-and-mortar store, you know, to help my kids, and of course, I wandered around, and I'm grateful that they still exist so that we can find our way to it in that way as well, and of course, it's great with Amazon, too, because, if it's going to pop up first, there's good reason why it's a national bestseller. So thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you, Christine, so much. I enjoyed myself very much.
Oh, great, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I hope that you can take what you learned today and make your home feel safer and more enjoyable. Thanks for joining us here today. I'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.